Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the presentation of the AmRest Quarter One 2020 results. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in the listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participants have difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Lucas, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Łukasz Wachełko. I'm representing WOOD & Company, and today I have the pleasure of being the moderator of AmRest call. The company is being represented by the management in persons of Mark Chandler, the CEO, Eduardo Zamarripa, the CFO, and Peter Kinender, Chief of Strategy, and backed up with their IR team. Not to go for too long, well, gentlemen, the mic is yours.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. This is, I guess, our first virtual earnings call, so hopefully we won't have any technical issues here. It seems like a long time since I last spoke to you. I was in Spain at that time, at the end of February, but it's only been 3 months. Since we last spoke, a lot has happened. When I talked to you in February, we were talking about growth, about building 300 restaurants, continuing to grow our margins, improving our leverage. Also, I guess the focus at that time was on China, where we were talking about how China was coming down from a beginning of 113 same-store sales index down to 12, and that there was no effect on the European business. Well, a couple of weeks later, we all know things have changed a lot. Government sanctions have come in everywhere, and certainly our business and our industry has changed. Without a doubt, this is certainly our biggest challenge we've had in our history. We had a really strong and promising start to the year. Our same-store sales for January and February in the +5% range. It looked like we were going to have a record year, as we had anticipated. Of course, with the lockdowns and that changed. I would say March was nothing but a short of painful for us, as we were able to only operate out of a delivery channel, and in some cases also we had takeout and drive-through. Our sales dropped after that strong start, dropped by 70% in the second half of March, and we ended the quarter, of course, with a decline of 7.4%. Eduardo will take you through the numbers in a bit more detail after me. Fortunately also, I think we had the advantage because of China, that we reacted faster than most companies. We learned a lot from China. I was on the call with them today. We had our biannual, and they're showing every month there's a lot of progress. Their same-store sales are now around 80 and growing. Now some of the restrictions are coming off. We were very quick to respond to the health and safety challenges, and that helped a lot in terms of how we can mitigate the financial impact of the crisis. I'm very proud of the team that I have. They've been great. They've been very resilient. They've been very committed. Of course, it's our culture that's helped because we've been always proactive rather than reactive during the crisis. During the first couple of months, we really have focused on four key areas. The first, of course, and natural, is the health and safety of our employees and customers. We've implemented strict safety measures across our network, and we've actually gone beyond the guidelines that the WHO and also local authorities have implemented. Also, we put home office in effect for all our offices in our network. Since February, we started, and that was because of China and before we hit in Europe. We started a crisis task force we set up by country and also globally, and that communicates and monitors everything that's going on in COVID-19 cases across the group. Also, we have daily calls with the crisis committee, myself and the executive team, and we also have exec meetings actually 7 days a week to cover what's going on. Also, in terms of our customers, we've implemented contactless delivery. It's something we did first in China. We're also now redesigning our restaurants. In Poland today, I'll be after the call going over to see. This is the first day we can actually eat in the food courts, so we'll see But we redesigned our restaurants to make sure that we can meet the restrictions that have been placed on us by the governments. The second key area we're looking at is CSR, and that's because we've always been the supporter of the community, and this time we've really been focusing on the people who've been fighting the virus, the people on the front lines. So we've been delivering food to the nurses and doctors and hospitals, and also to the police. And also we added on to any excess product that we had, we contributed through our harvest program. So it's something we're very proud of and commitment, and the people, we had a lot of photos of our people and got a lot of things from the police and from doctors and nurses thanking us for helping them out in these very, very tough times. Also, of course, the third thing we've been working on is maximizing sales. We basically have lost our dine-in channel up till just now. And so we've been focusing on delivery and in some markets, as I said before, takeout and drive-through. So our numbers have increased dramatically. In fact, we've doubled in most of our markets in March, our delivery performance, and also actually in April has tripled. So we believe that when we come out of this, we'll be stronger for it. For us, we were the most aggressive in terms of the competitors and most of the markets in terms of opening up and keeping the restaurants open. And that has allowed us to reach new customers, and I think that's something that will help us as we go forward. But of course, working in those three channels hasn't made up for the dine-in business. We will find out again here in Poland now. Later on this month, we'll have Czech. Probably the country most impacted has been Spain because of the shutdown that's been going on around us. We have increased the share of our operating stores. We hit a low of only 42% of our total stores being open during March, and now we have more than 70% open, and that will actually number should get higher in the next week or so to the closer to 80+. Peter will take you through more on the recent trading in the second quarter and also how we think we're on the path to a gradual recovery. And the fourth one is, of course, preserving liquidity. Certainly, it hit us very fast, and we had to react very fast. And, of course, not knowing how long the crisis was going to go on, we've had to take quick actions in terms of both CapEx and OpEx. And this is why we also put into effect a cash task force that meets daily to review all our cash transactions, look through all our possible investments and expenditures. So it's something that we also have weekly board calls to go through that, to take everybody, updating them on what the situation is. So in terms of CapEx, we've stopped all non-essential CapEx initiatives, and that includes new store openings and also renovations. And also we had a lot of projects set up, and we've only now investing more in areas such as digital and, of course, and safety guidelines that we need to follow. Also in OPEX, we also took some actions. We've taken advantage of the government support programs that have been put in place in each of the countries. We've applied right now to 69 government assistance programs. They're mostly aimed at the contributions to our payroll, also loan guarantees, tax initiatives, and also rent waivers. We've also, of course, we mentioned earlier in a press release about the Spanish ERTE program. We also apply for similar programs in Poland, France, Germany, and also 11 other countries. Also, we've taken some voluntary actions in terms of salary actions beyond what we have through the government programs. In our countries, the management of our countries, the exec team, and also the board, we volunteered to reduce our salaries anywhere from the range of 25 to 50%. We've also delayed any 2019 bonuses to 2021 as a way to help in with dealing with the cash situation. And also we've been executing some cost initiatives across most of the major lines, cost lines, such as we've been renegotiating with landlords, suppliers, and also franchisors. And I have to say I'm very grateful for the level of support we've been getting from the partners at this stage. And then also we're working on financing. Financing, we've been able to have help from our club banks. I've started the club banks 12 years ago, and I have to say we've always had a very close relationship, and I want to thank them very much for their support during these very tough times for us. We have received a covenant waiver for the first quarter. As you've seen, we exceeded our 3.5 times leverage covenant. We were at 3.6, and so we received that this last week. Finally, in addition to that, we've also taken some longer-term measures, and that is adjusting our growth strategy. We call it internally Amarest 2.0. I had mentioned that, I think, before the crisis that we're going to go through and focus on being more asset-light in our business also, which will reduce our CapEx. Also, increasing margins, and that was we were on that path before we had this this difficulty with the crisis. But also, through the years, we've also had an issue on free cash flow, and so our target going forward is to be in a positive free cash flow and self-finance our builds and renovations and be able to lower our debt. So it's the plan, though, will be executed. The timing is certainly affected by the recovery time frame we're going to see on COVID and each of the countries, but it is a plan that we have updated and believe we're going to be able to execute. It also allows us at this time to take advantage in the situation of there are going to be, unfortunately, some competitors not able to make it through, so there will be sites available for us, and also we believe with the work we've done in the digital that we'll be able to even have greater penetration into the market. So we do know that the world will change, though, certainly post-COVID. Customer behavior has already shifted, and we think a lot of those will actually be here to stay. We were talking to China. China was going through something similar in seeing that their customer behavior has changed. So we do see that the crisis will be certainly a catalyst for us, and probably will fast forward some of the trends earlier than what we thought. Certainly, we've seen an acceleration towards online food delivery. It was something we were well set up for with our portfolio of brands. And also around our Shadow Kitchen initiative and virtual brands, we believe we're well positioned to handle this. In fact, our virtual brands that we mentioned that we started at the end of last year, we've actually tripled the number of transactions, and we had to open up a second kitchen using somebody else's restaurant to be able to handle that. So we see virtual brands as a way to go in the future, and also the Shadow Kitchen initiative for us is still something I think is very important, especially with delivery being a focus for our customers. We also saw that we had the right strategy in terms of multiple aggregator and multiple channel strategy. We've seen great results from that. We do believe competition probably will follow us in that, but that has helped us very much as we got out, tried to reach out on the delivery side to our customers. Certainly, the customers also will be focusing on health, safety, and hygiene. It's something that so we will continue to do all the measures that we have taken place, and that's what we do in terms of setting up our restaurants in terms of redesigning that. And also, I believe that the trend will be towards the kind of strong and reputable brands. Those will be the ones that will gain share. For us, we've always said that we only would take on A brands, and I think that has been a benefit to us. And finally, digital and convenience, that will be something that will be more relevant than ever before, and that will be where we will be focusing our future investment plans. So, and on top of that, we had talked many times about value being in our portfolio, and value is also an area that will become even more important than pre-COVID. So I mentioned China. China has been one that has shown a recovery trend already. It's going a slightly better than what we anticipated a few months ago. Certainly from that experience, we see that QSR and fast casual will be gaining ground much faster than casual dining. Some countries, unfortunately, have entered into the crisis at different stages, Russia being the last one in. So, and China being the first one in. So we'll see the impact, them coming out at different points in time. Certainly Western Europe has been more severely impacted for us than Central Europe. And so that will change a little bit our time frame, brand by brand and country by country, in terms of when we come out of it. As I mentioned, Blue Frog had a sales drop of 90% initially, and now, as I said, it's up 80 plus. And we believe by the end of the year, we'll be up here back to 100% by year end on China. So before I hand it over to Eduardo, I just want, and he'll take you through the numbers, I do want to again thank very much the outstanding job by the Amyris teams. They've been doing this for the past week, working long hours and such. And I especially want to thank the crew and members of our restaurant, managers of our restaurants. We call them our heroes. That's because they're serving our customers out there despite the risks that are involved. So for us, we kind of forget that. But in today's environment, safety and that, we have had people very dedicated to serving our clients. So with that, I want to pass it over to Eduardo.
Thank you, Mark, and good afternoon, everybody. Now I will move to the financial highlights of the quarter. It's worth mentioning that the comments I will provide during the call include the IFRS 16 accounting standard. That being said, let's start on slide number 4 of the presentation. 19 restaurant openings in the first quarter were done. The total store count is 2,346 units. Amyris revenues for the first quarter amounted to 411.9 million euros, representing 7.4% decline year over year as a result of business and social restrictions implemented by the majority of countries around the world in order to limit the spread of the coronavirus pandemic. First major restrictions with regards to obligatory store closures and the limitation of sales channels were introduced in China, while Europe implemented similar measures in the middle of March. In the first 2 months of the year, the company had seen solid top-line growth of 13.8%, while in March, the revenues decreased by 45%. In terms of profitability, was shaped first by a solid performance in Europe in the first 2 months of the year and then heavily affected in March. Consequently, consolidated EBITDA amounted to 42.6 million euros in first quarter, representing a 44.5% decrease over the year. EBITDA margin reached 10.3% and was down 7 percentage points versus last year. The main impact came from negatively effect of operation leverage from decreasing sales. Most of the cost savings programs have started since the end of March or beginning of April. After the first 2 months of the reporting period, group's consolidated EBITDA margin was 0.2 percentage points lower than last year, excluding China results. EBITDA margin was 0.4 percentage points higher, which indicates the overall strength of the business without the impact from the external shock related to the pandemic. Net profit attributable to Amyris shareholders in the first quarter of 2020 reached minus 41.6 million euros and was 45.3 million lower compared to last year. Margin amounted to minus 10.1% versus 0.8% in first quarter 2019 due to drop in operating profit. Let's move to segment information on slide 5 to Central and Eastern Europe. The revenue reached 181.8 million in first quarter 2020 and were 2.1% lower compared to the same period of last year. Wide range of restrictions implemented in reaction to the coronavirus spread resulted in around 55% of segment restaurants being opened for delivery or takeaway as of the end of March, with the remaining part of the stores being closed due to the low restrictions or low traffic. After the first 2 months of 2020, segment sales reached very solid increase of 19.9% compared to the same period of last year. In March, sales decreased by 41.1%. In first quarter, EBITDA stood at 28.7 million euros and was 24.5% lower than last year. EBITDA margin stood at 15.8%, which was 4.7 percentage points lower compared to the first quarter of 2019. Drop in revenues caused by trade restrictions impacted negatively on operational leverage, with higher labor and general costs also influenced by higher share of delivery, while slightly offset by first initiatives in cost savings. After the first 2 months of the report period, segment EBITDA margin was 2.1 percentage points higher than last year. Now let's continue with Western Europe. The sales experienced a very strong hit in first quarter as a consequence of the virus spread. The main countries' necessity to implement a strict limitation by government, as well as higher sales of casual or coffee shop type of businesses. The sales reached 164 million in first quarter 2020 and were 13.5% lower compared to the last year figure. Due to the implementation of curbs, most of the restaurants in France had been temporarily forced closed and non-operating in March, while in Spain, casual dining business has been closed since second half of March due to significantly lower restaurant traffic or location aspects, while only about 30% of our KFC stores were open. After the first 2 months of the reporting period, the segment posted supported revenue growth of 9% year-on-year and on back of positive comparable sales growth and net openings. In March, sales drop reached 54.5%. EBITDA reported by Western Europe division amounted to 11.1 million and decreased by 18 million over the year. EBITDA margin was at 6.7%, which was 8.5 percentage points lower than last year. The segment experiences the biggest drop in EBITDA due to the pandemic and strict restrictions implemented by government, as well as higher share of casual dining segment in profitability. The revenues for Russian division amounted to 49.1 million in first quarter, representing a growth of 11.8% over the year. Initial measures taken by government in response to coronavirus spread were less strict compared to the main countries in Western or Central Europe. That along with QSR-oriented store mix, allowed Russia segment to post top-line growth. After the first 2 months of 2020, segment sales reached a very solid increase of 30.3% versus last year. The EBITDA of Russia amounted to 7.5 million and was 8.5% lower than last year. Profitability reached 15.3% and was 3.4 percentage points lower compared to first quarter 2019. Sales decrease in March, along with additional costs associated with expanding delivery channels and marketing promo, impacted the profitability. After the first 2 months, the segment margin was 2.9 percentage points lower than last year. China is based on casual dining and posts the biggest drop in revenue percentage-wise. Sales reached 9.9 million and were 49.7% lower compared to the previous year. The first major restriction in China appeared in the second half of January, and more were coming day by day. In the peak of lockdown period in February, nearly 50% of stores were closed due to low traffic or local load restrictions. As a result, delivery sales in China in first quarter 2020 increased nearly 13 times compared to the same period of last year. The EBITDA was minus 200,000, a 2.4% negative margin compared to 4.7 million or 23.8% margin last year. Now, with regards to the balance sheet, one relevant transaction included the announcement of the final settlement for the transfer of 100% of the shares of restaurant partner Polska Pizza Portal. The total transaction price was $35 million. A combination of cash payments of $20 million and newly issued shares of Global resulted in the transaction that Ambris now holds 7.5% stake in Global share capital as a non-diluted percentage. The net debt, as we were saying, excluding lease obligation under IFRS 16 and the end of first quarter, equal to $629.8 million. Which resulted in a comparable leverage at 3.62 times. As a result, the group slightly missed one of the bank's covenants as of March 31st. Board received a letter waiver on 14th of May 2020. Requirement of bank's covenant as of 31st of March was waived, subject to certain conditions to be satisfied no later than June 30. Consequently, the bank loan was reclassified as current liability at the end of the reporting period. In April 2020, Spanish and French subsidiaries applied for state-supported bank loans, guaranteed by governments in 70 and 90% respectively. Up to date, we have granted a total of 75 million euros. As Mark mentioned, one of the initiatives that we implemented is the Cash Task Force, which main objective is to manage cash outflows and inflows. We are currently reviewing rental agreements and entering into negotiations with landlords. Additionally, we have taken a lot of actions aimed to utilizing government supports related to cost of labor and contributions offered on all markets where we operate. The company also decided to defer the planned capex that we have. This is another element that allows us to fulfill short-term cash needs. The capex for first quarter amounted to 28 million euros. This is a very challenging environment, but I want to assure that Ambris is taking all the several initiatives and applied to all of the government support scheme offered in the countries where we are present in order to secure the continued and improvement operations. Now I will turn the call to Peter for his remarks.
Thanks, Eduardo, and good afternoon, everyone. Following Mark and Eduardo's comments, I will try to give you some color on current trading and the trends we see across markets and the brands so far in the second quarter. In terms of top line, we are recovering from lows we have seen during the second part of March. So far, this uplift is mainly driven by the gradual reopening of stores. As of last week, 71% of stores are operating, and that compares to the low 42% in the third week of March. As you would expect, the stage of reopening is more advanced in some brands, such as KFC, Starbucks, and Pizza Hut, at levels of about 80%, with Blue Frog in China being fully operational, and less in others, such as TAG, with 10% of stores operational, which is mainly due to the stricter and longer-lasting lockdown measures in Spain and the relative weaker fit of the casual dining segment for delivery. As the restrictions in most markets have been implemented only around mid-March, but lasted through all of April, we have been facing a month-on-month decline of about 38% on sales between March and April, despite having increased the share of open stores to 56% until the end of April. With the amount of reopened stores increasing this month in May, we do see sales clearly recovering, and with the addition of the dine-in channel across many of our markets starting in the second part of May, we expect to finish this month considerably higher than April when it comes to our top line. Of course, there are significant differences between brands and markets when it comes to the speed of top-line recovery. As an example, KFC Poland is already back at about 70% year-on-year sales index for months to date in May, influenced by reopenings as well as same-store sales dynamics. BK and Pizza Hut Poland are close to 50% so far in May. It will not surprise, given the stage of restrictions, that on the other side of the scale, we got our businesses in Russia and Spain. Given the category, the positioning of the brand, and the fit for delivery, Starbucks is taking slightly longer to recover. In terms of stores you see us reopening, we are doing this case by case and subject to expected sales levels and the accretion to overall profitability. Looking at the remainder of May and second quarter, with dine-in reopening over the coming weeks across all markets alongside additional reopenings of stores, we expect sales indices to recover further into second quarter. Of course, we yet need to see the impact of a more cautious customer and additional health and safety restrictions when it comes to social distancing on our business. So far, we are lacking the reliable track record from reopenings in Europe to make serious predictions, but please bear in mind that any additional business in dine-in will be mostly incremental and add to fixed cost coverage and margin improvement. Generally, also when taking observations and learnings from China, such as BK or Yum into account, we expect QSR and fast casual to regain lost ground much sooner than casual dining. In that respect, our business in Blue Frog China is showing strong performance, also versus the overall casual dining segment, as we are already back at about 80% same-store sales index, with all stores being now fully operational. In terms of sales mix, up to now, the only channels available to us in Europe since mid-March have been delivery, and in some cases only takeout and drive-through. Delivery has substantially increased in absolute numbers, and the growth rates have been gradually growing week by week during the lockdown. In numbers, this means that delivery sales have doubled and in some cases tripled across many of our markets versus pre-crisis levels when looking at our QSR brands. And these gains are visible on external aggregator platforms as well as our own channels. In China and with our casual brand Blue Frog, delivery as a share of sales is now at 10%, which is about twice the pre-COVID level. Supported by the strong uplift in demand for delivery, our virtual brands have printed new record order numbers. As you know, we have launched our first Shadow Kitchen late last year, and numbers we see are clearly above expectations so far. We have opened our second Shadow Kitchen in April, also in Poland. Overall on delivery, given the portfolio of brands we operate, our multi-channel strategy and initiatives around Shadow Kitchen and virtual brands, we feel very well positioned to take advantage from the acceleration of the delivery trends. The current situation very clearly serves as a catalyst for further adoption of online delivery, so we feel that this topic will become even more relevant going forward. Now, before opening for Q&A, I'd just like to remind you that when looking beyond the second quarter and at the little amount of visibility on how the COVID situation will develop further and how governments across our markets will react, we are now not in a position to give guidance for this year at this stage. Like everyone else, we hope this to change and visibility on this topic to increase by the time we are reporting second quarter numbers. And of course, we'll update you as soon as we can. And with that, I would like to hand back to the operator to open for the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin our Q&A session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please leave the handset before making a selection. One moment, please, for the first question. Our first question is from Joe Popindo from JP Capital Markets. You may begin your question, sir.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. I have some. So the first one, you have to meet certain conditions at the end of the second quarter to comply with the debt covenant. Can you give us some color on these conditions? How demanding are them? My second question, can you give... can you update us on the restrictions in the different countries? Poland is reopening today. What about the rest of the countries? Third question related to this, 71% of your stores are operational as of Thursday. How many can already offer dine-in services? My fourth question, just a quick follow-up on your growth ambitions. You mentioned a 2.0 program. How does this compare with the pre-COVID long-term plan? Also, you target positive free cash flow. Is this in 2020 or 2021 only? And finally, just just to confirm if I understood correctly, consolidated sales in April are 38% down versus March. Is this right? And how does this compare year on year? Thank you.
Okay, so maybe I can answer a couple of those, and then we'll add in there the conditions that we talked about for the waiver. That was your first question. We had provided the banks 2020 forecast, and so we've actually updated that one, and they've also asked for 2021. So we are in the process of providing them our business plan for both years. And so that is something that we need to deliver to them within the next 30 days. So that is the condition, because they wanted to see what our run rate was going forward. So that is what is due to for us to provide the bank. So we need to run it by the board first, their updated forecast, because you can imagine everything has kind of changed from when we started out the year. So that's the conditions we have to do, is we have to come back to the bank with our updated business plan for both 2020 and also 2021. And I think the next one was on restrictions, and I believe that was in terms of different by country. As you've said, Poland today, we'll check out after this. This is the first time we'll be able to do dine-in. In Poland, so it'll be affecting our food courts as well, but also on with Pizza Hut, which has been we had some Pizza Hut restaurants that only been or dine-in restaurants but only been doing delivery, so that's been an area that we are going to be able to do. Czech will be later on this month, so Czech, we're looking for something different. We're looking at full reopening on May 25th. That's the plan. Hungary is also opened up outside of Budapest. Budapest has some restrictions, but we expect to have an announcement here by the end of this week. Germany is also opened up. They're actually by region or by states within it, so they're all in different parts. So they're rolling out. And we have Hamburg as the next one that's going to be reopening as of today. So we expect to see more of our restaurants actually all open in there. France is slightly different. The malls can reopen on May 11th, are open on May 11th, except for Paris. So we're still waiting for that to happen. But we expect reopening date will be known sometimes at the end of this month in France. Spain's slightly different. We expect they're in stages. We expect to move on today to stage one, and that's except for Catalonia, and we're also expecting to open up in Madrid. So you can see that they're all at different stages. We have other countries as well, but we're seeing basically most of the restrictions are coming off in this month and also next month. So we expect that we should be probably closer to up and running. I think the one we're waiting on most is in Spain this season, since people are still on lockdown there. So in terms of the 71% of the businesses, as I said, dine-in is, we have, at that point, we had no dine-in in that number. So that was as of the end of last week, was a 71%. So we believe that number will greatly increase as the malls open up in some of the countries, and also will be able to open up restaurants like our Pizza Hut dine-in. So the 71 is really only with takeaway, other than China, of course, but everything has just been takeaway. The three channels we mentioned before, takeaway, drive-through, and delivery. In terms of the timing of the Amaris 2.0, it was something I had implemented before the COVID-19. The timing has probably been pushed off, I would say, a year, at least a year. Will be cash flow positive, because that was one of your questions. That will be happening, and of course, we believe in 2021. A lot will depend on the recovery period. As everybody always talks about, is there a second wave or not? So if everything goes as predicted, then 2.0 comes in effect in 2021. And we've already taken actions on our portfolio, how we would want to handle it, taken actions in terms of structure, or asset light, and a lot of renegotiations and things. So really, if things go as we hope, then we hope to be implementing Amrest 2.0 in terms of the growth period starting next year. Right now, it's in a different stage. Yes, positive cash flow is what we want to have. I didn't get your last question in terms of April. Could you repeat the question in terms of sales?
Yes, it was just to confirm. I understood that consolidated sales fell 38% versus March. Is this right? And how
that's
does
the that's the months on months number. Let us dig out the year-on-year comparison.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, because we had basically two weeks of good trading in Europe for March, and then of course April was still in the lower part of what we were doing, and we started making recovery more towards the end of April and to May.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Let me remind you again, if you have a question for our speaker, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad to enter the queue. As there are no further questions, I will
now
hand the session over to you.
Let me take the advantage of being a moderator. I have a couple of questions to be asked. First of all, guys, I wanted to ask about the savings you mentioned being implemented at the end of March and early April. Can you put it somehow into the numbers? And can you point out what kind of cost savings there were?
Eduardo, do you want to address that question? Eduardo, are you on mute?
Yes, sorry. As I was mentioning during the script, we started to make the savings at the end of March, beginning of April, and it was mainly, of course, driven at the beginning with all the renegotiation with the landlords. In some of these cases, we got the opportunity to defer some of the payments, and in some of the negotiation, given the impact, we also get some percentages of reductions. No, also in terms of cost of labor, we took advantage of the programs that we had all across the countries in which we operate, but really the impact that we are going to see are starting in the month of April.
Okay, and would it be possible to estimate the amount of the state aid you received?
Of course, and it's something that we will share. No, and the thing is that it varies by country. Now, for example, you have the situation of ERTE, or no, as we were mentioning in that the people that went into that program, the thing is that the majority of the employees of the restaurants, people went there. More than 3,000 people went to there, and the payment of the payroll belongs to the government, but we are enforced to make the payment of the social security of those persons. Now, and if we go program by program, the thing is that we could be saying that we are saving in terms of the restaurants around 20% of the cost of labor that we have in operations.
I think it's important also note that we've not had to lay off our people. Of course, we didn't. The ones that didn't work in the restaurants that were on civil contracts, that wouldn't was different. But we haven't made any structural changes. Everybody's been taking voluntary cuts or we've been assisted by the government. So we've tried as much as we can to maintain the employment of our people here because we believe that we're going to come out of this and then be able to start operating our restaurants again. So it was important for us to maintain the teams that we have.
Okay. Would it be fair to assume that given that you are reopening the restaurants as we speak, or maybe next month, towards the third quarter, the state aid shall not be expected?
So I think the state aids are going to start to reduce, for example, as the people start to come back. So what we should be expecting is, of course, April is going to have a higher percentage, but May and April, as the restaurants continue to go on openings, that is going to be reduced because of that. No, and what we were saying, no, of course, all the restaurants that we are opening, we are making an exercise location by location, if it makes sense to open, and which is the proper moment to do it in terms of the expectation of the traffic that we could have on each location.
Okay, and would it be fair to also assume that the second quarter being more impacted than the first quarter with the COVID-19 lockdowns, would it be fair to assume that the result of the second quarter would be, in terms of EBITDA, worse than the first quarter?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty safe to say because we have, because we had two months of basically, other than China, we had 2 months and almost 2.5 months of business not so far off. I mean, the fact we, as I said, we were, you know, same store sales at 105. So yes, the second quarter will certainly be worse than the first, because we've been operating, of course, down. With not till recently have we been growing back up again. So, but we do see the trend, of course, quarter by quarter, crawling back to hopefully by the end of the year, getting closer to where we were sales wise, at least. Pre-COVID, but it depends again, as Peter said, by the brand and by the channel. Dine-in is the one that probably we have to wait and see how the consumer behavior is on dine-in. QSR, I think, could come back even better on QSR given the new customers we've obtained, and also where delivery has become a bigger you know, top of mind for people. But the second quarter will be worse than the first.
Okay, and speaking of deliveries, can you disclose what was the share of deliveries within the first quarter and within that in March, and how it develops going forward, and what's the difference in terms of economics because of cost of deliveries or the provisions for aggregators? So how does, well, the sales in normal business and sales in dining, in deliveries, how they look like?
Well, maybe we can address, and maybe I'll talk about Poland because it varies by country, right? So, but in Poland, 40% of our sales was delivery, and the rest was takeaway and drive-through. Drive-through actually was a fairly large number. So, of course, that now we'll see how. I think we're gonna have to see how it goes here. I think Poland will be the best one for us to check on in the next couple of weeks, because I believe it's going to, when we first opened up the malls, things were slow, but then things picked up in terms of traffic. But we will see what will happen going forward as to how much delivery will be as a percentage of the business. But it was roughly 40% in Poland in terms of what we were operating.
In the first quarter, or in April, or in March?
In March, April.
Okay. And I think, well, few last questions. Well, if you agree with me that the second quarter will be tougher in terms of profitability than the first one, it also seems that the leverage number will be higher than 3.6. So you shall most likely break the covenant again of the first half of the year. Is that a fair assumption?
That's a fair assumption. I mean, given the, based on that it's trailing 12 months EBITDA for the formula. So yes, we will, and that's why with what we're doing for the banks, the desire is to get, you know, a waiver for the next couple of quarters until we come out of it.
So remember one thing, Lucas, as we stated, we also took the 75 million of state support loans, and that increases the debt. Of course, we also have our club of banks aware of this thing. So because of those two situations, EBITDA and increase in debt, the assumption that you are making seems correct.
Okay, and as I understand, 70% or 90% of this state aid debt is being secured by the government. So it's all on your leverage, or it's somehow excluded from your leverage?
At the end, it's secured by the government, but it's incremental debt for us, and it's a 5 years, 10 year period with 1 year of grace. But at the end, we will have to fulfill the payments of these loans, and of course, it's included in our numbers and leverage.
Yeah, we have a waiver from the club on those loans, of course.
Okay. So you mentioned during the presentation that you would like to take the advantage of weaker players falling out of the market and taking the locations. However, given that going forward, most likely every single quarter and next foreseeable quarters, you will have a issue with leverage and will have to keep CapEx limited as much as possible, would you be able to take actually the advantage, or will just disadvantage will pass in front of you?
I think it's still going to be there. And also, we're still, doesn't mean you can't do something on the franchising side as well, right, for some of our brands. So when we say asset light, doesn't mean you're not going to have restaurants built. So I think for this year, for sure, it's not going to be one where we're going to make investments. I think an important thing is to enter into next year in the position that makes us strong. So I believe a lot of these, the opportunities will still be there next year, and so be less competitors in the marketplace. We're certainly, I think, now looking to see if we can get, you know, work with our landlords and things to be able to get better terms for what we have, but then we'll be ready, I think, in the beginning of next year to see if we can explore those opportunities.
So actually, the very last question from my end, would you totally exclude capital increase as a possibility over the next couple of weeks, months, quarters, or that's something which you would consider?
Well, it's nothing that, I think, again, that will be something that has to be discussed at the board level. So I really can't address it because at this point, it's not within my control, that part of it. But certainly I'm sure the board is considering all types of actions if needed. Again, a lot will depend on our plan that we put together for 2020 and 2021.
But you would agree with me that having cash on hand and having much stronger balance sheet would make your life much easier, and you would be able to exploit the opportunities in much more of an efficient way than now with restricted capex.
I believe you know the answer to that question, because it's kind of hard not to take cash in hand. If somebody asks you cash or no cash, you would take the cash for sure. So, yes. So, but again, a lot of things have to be considered. But yes, that would certainly make my life a little easier.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's all my end.
Hi. Yes, there are some questions from the audience. Our next question is from Travika Javines from Power Rocco Corporation. You may begin your questions.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. It's regarding the occupancy level. I would like to know what percentage of occupancy are different major countries considering from now on. For example, in the case of Spain, you know that according to the evolution of different phases, 30% of restaurant occupancy level can be open, is allowed to have, then you, if you move on to phase number two, you can get 50% or something like this. Could you give us some color in the major countries? What do you expect from May going forward?
We're pretty much expecting the 50% number that you mentioned, and that's how we are designing our redesigning our restaurants for that. Also will help will be the patios, because the patio will be also something similar. So most of the time here it's been based on like being a meter and a half away from each other. So the tables will be set up. For instance, here in Poland, it's also going to be, you can't sit at the same table as unless it's family and that. So it depends by country, but I believe overall we would look at the 50% occupancy number as kind of a general guideline for most of the countries.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. There's no further question at this moment. Back to you, Lucas.
Okay, so thank you very much for the presentation. Thank you for the Q&A. So it's up to you for the closing remarks, if there are any.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody again. It's been, as I said, the 3 months. A lot has happened since we last spoke. And as Peter said, I believe on the second quarter call, we'll be able to provide a lot more information in terms of our projections forward and what we expect on there. And hopefully also by then we'll have a lot more experiences in terms of with a dining experience and also where we're going to be coming out of by each country. So again, I want to thank everybody. And hopefully the next call will have a lot more good news to tell you. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.